Shabbos Perkhaf Mishnah Dalad 24. In the previous Mishnah, we had discussed certain activities that you can and can't do with respect to preparing food to feed animals on Shabbos. That was the karshinin and the straw, the vetch. So here in this Mishnah, we have other topics that are regarding the preparation of food and giving of food to animals. So the Mishnah says, Gorfin melefnei hapatam. One may grufa is like to rake, like grufa and ketuma, raking the coals back in the third parak. So you can rake in front of the patam. The patam is the feeding trough. The fatem is to fatten up an animal. So the patam is like the thing that is the animal trying to fatten up for slaughter. So if you've got within the food that the animal is supposed to eat, you've got other kind of sandy material like debris. So you can rake it so that you can clear it away so that the animal could eat the food and not be poked by it, etc. Umesalkin litzdadin, and you also can push it to the sides, bipnei hara'i, because of the excrement. The issue here is that if you have an overflowing manger, the feeding trough, and there's like straw around, so the animal, which has excrement on its feet, because it's been walking around in the pasture, will actually step on its food, and then it's going to be filthy by the food that's on its by its feet, and then the animal won't eat the straw. So the idea is you're pushing it aside so that the animal has a place to put its feet other than on the food, so it won't ruin the food, so the animal will eat it. Rabbi Dosa holds that those two things, gorfin to rake in front of the patam, and misalkin letzdadin, pushing to the sides the straw, is permitted on Shabbos, and the chum forbid it, the chum osrin. Now why? What's the machlokas here? So the issue is that when it comes to a feeding trough, like a manger, so there's two basic ways of doing it. There's simply, either there's like a long kind of like a flower pot, like a long container, and you put the food inside the container, and it would, you know, let's call it like, you know, the whole liquid or good old food, and that's fine, and that's what we're talking about over here. But other times, the manger just consists essentially of like a almost like a circle, like a, or an oval, if you will, so to speak, that's sitting on the ground, and there's no base to it, just like a loop, and you put the food inside it, and then it's sitting on the ground, so the food stays put, and that avus, that manger, that feeding trough can be moved around, but it's sort of like there's nothing on the bottom of it. So if you'd have such a bottomless feeding trough, so then when you rake the debris to the sides or push the straw to the sides, what you're liable to do is to smooth out the floor, the dirt floor, at the bottom of the manger. And that'll be Aser Midoraisa, very possibly, or at least Midorabanan, if they have Davar Shem's Coven, etc. But you're talking about an Isser of Meshava Gumos, smoothing out the floor, which is a tolda of bona of building. And this, we've seen it before, it comes up so many times throughout the Masechtas of Shabbos and elsewhere also. The concern of smoothing out the holes in the ground because their floors in general, even inside their homes, were dirt floors, and it was a regular thing to do to smooth out the holes and bumps on the floor. So totally forbidden, and therefore Rabbi Dosa says if there's a, you're talking about a kli that has a base to it underneath, so when you rake or push aside the stuff on the inside of the manger, you're not smoothing any holes in the ground because you're not talking about ground, at the bottom of a kli, of a utensil. The Chum say if you observe someone or you yourself rake the kli with the bottom today, tomorrow you'll come, or the person who's looking at you will come to push the sides, the bottomless feeding trough, and come to smooth out the holes. So the rabbis hold this an issur derabbanan of a gezeira, a protective fence, lest people come to smooth out holes. And Rav Dosa says, no, there is no such protective fence. Okay, fine. The Mishnah continues on and says, notlin milafnei ha-behemazu v'nostin lefnei behemazu b'shabbos. You're allowed to take food. If there's too much food in one feeding trough, you can take it from animal A and put it in front of animal B. No problem. The thought might be that once the animal has started to eat, it like drools on the food and makes it gross, and therefore the second animal won't want to eat that food. So the Mishnah is saying that's not the case. Under normal circumstances, animals are fine to eat other animals' leftovers, and that being the case, you could transfer from one trough to another trough, one animal to the animal. The Gemara speaks out that that's not always the case, because, for example, If you're talking about the sloppy seconds of an ox, so cows do salivate a lot on their food, and a donkey would be particular not to eat on the slimied up food from the ox's manger. So that would mean you would not be allowed to transfer food from the ox's manger to in front of the donkey, because the donkey won't eat it, and therefore just would be a lot of exertion for nothing.